coming in, and Garrett will clear it to the other side for Mark Howe. Howe coming up on the right side. Howe over the line to his father. Son to father. Back and shot. They score! Number nine, Father Howe. And number five, Mark Howe. And the crowd appreciates that.
I foolishly retired in seriousness for 2 years. Since I've tried it on several years, but in the 2 years of retirement, I've actually put on about 18 pounds. Because I thought I was going to enjoy life, and to make that comeback.
Well, you weren't sure. You were over 40.
Well, I think I was. They told me, and I believed it too the first couple of years.
It's a little tribute to Gordie Howe. This tune, by the way, for us Tom Petty fans out of their Wildflowers out of nowhere. Dan Long showing his sensitive side with a little Wildflowers on a Saturday afternoon.
It's a great song.
It really is. Doesn't get a lot of run. One of the great underrated albums that I think our gentleman who's on the line perhaps does not listen to. Bob Verdi, who used to write for your Chicago Tribune in the wake of the news and now headed to the Hockey Hall of Fame, your Blackhawks historian, since 2010, joining us on the line to talk some Gordie Howe and also your induction. Bob, thanks for taking time this afternoon.
Thanks, guys. I was about to have a sandwich, and then I started listening to your show.
Sorry about that, Bob.
You would have kept going, though, Bob. You wouldn't have stopped on one little hair. Come on.
I put the plate aside.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Can't blame you. Bob, before we get to some of your stuff with the Hockey Hall of Fame, let's talk a little about Gordie Howe and this sad news that he passed away. What do you remember from his career?
Well, he was a rock. You know, I think it says something that both Wayne Gretzky and Bobby Orr, either of whom could be called the greatest player ever, both say that Gordie was the greatest player ever. And it's not only the endurance, but the way he played the game. And you know, the old myth is that of the Gordie Howe hat trick, a goal, an assist, and a fight in a game. The fact is that he rarely ever fought, because nobody wanted to go near him. You know, I don't think he had very many fights, but when he did, you lived to regret it. Same with Orr. You know, Orr was a great fighter, just nobody wanted to fight him. But Gordie was played the game the right way, tough, efficient, modest, and more importantly, I think, off the ice, he kind of instilled and perpetuated hockey's culture of respect for each other and the game. And I think in many ways he passed the baton to his, you know, to Wayne Gretzky. Gordie was Wayne's idol. And the way Gordie carried himself and played the game and respected the game, you know, that goes through generations.
The great Bob Verdi with us here on 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hoge. So you mentioned, Bob, the one goal, the Gordie hat trick, the goal, assist, and a fight, and that only actually happened one time.
Well, yeah, I that doesn't necessarily once or twice, and I you know, it's again, you just didn't want to mess with him. Bobby Hull, left wing for the Blackhawks for forever. And Gordie was right wing for the Red Wings, and they faced each other how many times? You know, they used to play 14 times a year, the Red Wings in Chicago. And but there was a great mutual respect, and as Bobby said, I enjoyed every high-sticking minute of it.
Well, you know, for somebody who wasn't able to watch Gordie Howe's career, because I'm just not old enough, but to see just... The guy played across five decades.
Yeah, Bobby
did. It's unbelievable to even think of these days, the longevity of starting in 1945 in the USHL and going all the way to 1980 with the Hartford Whalers. He played 80 games that year. I mean, it's crazy.
I think he just turned 52 at the end of his last season in the NHL, when, by the way, he was teammates with Bobby in Hartford. and scored 15 goals, played with his sons. Interesting story in the Herald today about when Gordy played with the Houston Arrows of the WHA, and they played the Chicago Cougars for the WHA championship, and the amphitheater was not available, so they played in this little suburban rink that doesn't even exist anymore in Randhurst, 2,000 people. But Gordy just loved the game and played it with great passion, and probably would have played it for free, and in those days didn't play for a lot more, if you know what I mean.
And you've had one-on-ones with Wayne Gretzky, and you've been around the game so long, Bob, but you would obviously say that Wayne is the greatest player of all time. There's no argument there, right?
I don't know how to, we're talking different eras. If Bobby Orr had to retire when he was 30, who knows if his knees had held up, or his knee, what he would have done. He could have played till he was 40, at least, if he wanted to. I don't know. They're all, that's a tough call right there. But for longevity, certainly Gordy.
Right.
Revolutionizing the game, scoring crazy numbers, Gretzky. And also, again, in deference to his idol, Wayne became one of the great, maybe the greatest ambassador the NHL has ever had.
Well, and speaking of some of the best of all time, Bob Verdi joining us here on 720 WGN and announced this week that Bobby will receive the Elmer Ferguson Memorial Award for Excellence in Hockey Journalism. Congratulations on that. A well-deserved honor. What was your reaction to hearing that news?
Well, I was kind of stunned. I left hockey to write golf for a long time, and then the Blackhawks, Rocky Wirtz, and John McDonough kind of brought me back to hockey, and I started writing again, and I guess if you're around long enough, they give you a plaque.
See, Bob, you're always deferential on this type of stuff, but I was particularly talking about yourself, but you obviously had some strategy in the way you've connected with people, athletes, management. If you were giving advice to, young broadcaster, just anybody who's looking to, build a career and you need connections in this world, I mean, that's what it's all about right now. And what would you say?
I would say you're the conduit of what you're watching through the newspaper or radio or television. You're the conduit to the viewers, the readers, the fans, and don't get in the way. It's not about you. They're not holding the game for you.
That's good advice. Good advice. Bob, what is the sort of the history behind the famous nickname Dollar Bill Wirtz?
Oh dear. Bill Wirtz, may he rest in peace, was a fine man, and when he ran the Blackhawks, and I was covering the Blackhawks either on the beat or with the column for a long time with the Tribune, we had our moments. He did his business his way, and sometimes we disagreed, but I one day, I just came up with Dollar Bill. Because, he had this reputation of appreciating the bottom line. His dad, Arthur, was called the Baron of the Bottom Line. Anyway, I gave him that name, Dollar, and I don't think he liked it at first. But then, as he told me, he said when he used to walk around the stadium every once in a while on game nights, all of a sudden, people started coming up to him with dollar bills and asking him to sign them. And he said, "Well, geez, this is not so bad. I like this." So I think he ended up kind of liking the nickname. I didn't mean it in a mean way, because he was a fabulous businessman, and what he did off camera for people he employed or for charitable causes, you know, we'll never know. But he was extremely generous that way. It's just his business. You know, we're not going to watch, we're not going to let people watch home games because that would be unfair to the season reservation holders. That's just something that seemed a little odd. And of course, when his son Rocky took over, it didn't last. But to Rocky's credit, although he did many of his practices opposite of what his dad espoused, Rocky always, and still to this day, has done it in a respectful manner. You know, this is Dad did it this way, and I'm doing it this way. And what would Dad think of it? Well, hopefully, he would just think that I'm enriching the family heirloom.
Did you know that Rocky was waiting in the wings, Bob, and that the entire franchise was getting, the way they went about doing their business was going to change?
I had heard that he was next in line, although he was very much basically invisible around the hockey team, you know, tending to the other businesses of the family. And I was told that the line of succession included Rocky. Nobody had an idea how it would go. I think Rocky could have certainly taken over and said, look, I've been handling other, you know, our liquor business, our real estate. Give me 5 years. Give me a five-year plan. Let me get my feet wet here and all that. And, my God, it took 20 minutes. And he basically resurrected a sleeping giant with his policies. He goes and has lunch with John McDonough and would not leave until John said, yes, I'll come aboard. And we all know that's the you're the flagship station for the Blackhawks, and it's an amazing franchise. And I believe me, I would say that even if they weren't signing my paychecks. If I was on the outside looking in, as I was for 30 years or more, I believe I would say the same thing. It's incredible the traction they've achieved in Chicago.
Yeah, no question. And three Stanley Cups later, I'm sure Bill is smiling down and admiring what Rocky has done with the franchise. It's certainly been impressive, as is your career, Bob. Thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you taking time out.
Don't get a big head about this, Bob.
No, I won't, and I'm not going to eat the sandwich.
I was going to say, go enjoy your sandwich. You can
no,
do
it's
it.
It's done. It's all over right. with.
And actually, get a big head about this, Bob. It's okay. I'd walk around puffy-chested for at least a week around this town. You deserve it.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Bob Verdi, Blackhawks historian, longtime Chicago Tribune columnist, and now in the Hockey Hall of Fame, the Elmer Ferguson Memorial Award for Excellence in Hockey Journalism.
I feel bad that I am now responsible for him not enjoying his lunch.
I see, that's the thing. Like, when we do a topic like that and you impact Bob Verdi's
lunch.
Well,
it's 3 o'clock. I figured lunch is over. People, you know, I don't know if I would have done this in the noon business hour.
It's okay. I mean, that's a good point. Lunch should be over. But, you know, Bob's got his own schedule. Yeah. You should feel. I feel guilty. I don't know if you feel guilty. I feel guilty. Hey, let's update the baseball. When we come back here, we got our North Side, South Side report. We'll get angry Adam Hogan here. 720 WGN.